Well, I'm really I've been really looking forward to teaching today, and I missed you guys last week. We were in Los Angeles. My son had an audition at a school that he's interested in going to, and so we're in that phase right now. He's finishing high school and doing our college visits and all that. But I heard my wife did an amazing job preaching the word, which I knew she would because she preaches all over the world. And so, but it's awesome to be back, and I'm super excited about what I want to share with you guys this morning. We're going to start a brand new series entitled "Under Construction," and basically, the premise of this series is a look at how we're all a work in progress. Every single one of us is a work in progress. We should all have a sign around our neck that says "Under Construction." You know what I mean? And so we're gonna really focus on looking at what that means. And today's message, part one of the series, is entitled "Are You Ready?" Are you ready? So if you're ready, why don't you bow your heads right now and let's invite the presence of God into this time as we go through this first part of the Under Construction series. Lord God, we thank you so much for this food. We thank you, God, for today, that we could come together in your name. Lord, I just ask now that you will speak by your Spirit to each one of us, God. I pray that we would all have a true and powerful encounter with you, with your heart, your love, and your goodness today. And I thank you for what you're about to do, God, now in Jesus' name. Amen. Last month, probably around the beginning of December, I had an interesting conversation with a lady. I was at the gym. And it was at the end of my workout, and I was getting ready to, Cameron and I were getting ready to leave, and this lady walks up to me, and she says, "I think I for some reason, it seems like I know you. You look familiar, you know." And I said, "Well, maybe it's because, you know, I pastor a church in Auburn." And she goes, "That's it, you know." And I said, "You know, you should come, you know, come to church. You should come back," or whatever. And her response to that, my invitation, was really interesting, because I said, "Hey, you should come to church." And she said, "I'm just not in that place in my life right now." It was an interesting response to the invitation. "I'm just not in that place right now in my life." In other words, what she was saying is, "I'm not ready for that right now." And I've thought a lot about what she said. And I've just really been thinking a lot about it, you know, not realizing I think God set that up for a purpose. He wanted me to hear that, and he really wanted me to think about that for a while. And I've been thinking about it, and it's made me think of come to this conclusion that we won't do things that we don't think we're ready for. We're not gonna do stuff that we don't think we're ready for. It doesn't matter if other people think we're ready. It doesn't matter if to everybody else it's obvious, it's beyond obvious that you're ready for it. If you don't think you're ready for it, you're not gonna do it. And I was thinking about that, and I was also thinking, you know, the gym, because it's interesting that this happened at the gym, but the gym is a lot like the church. A lot like the church, because the gym is full of people who are all at different stages when it comes to the gym. You know, because we won't do things that we don't think we're ready for. And readiness seems to be connected to, seems to go in stages. We're a little bit ready, and then we're ready for the next step, and then we're ready for the next step, and then we're ready for the next step. And you can see that in the gym. In the gym, everybody, it's full of people who are all at varying stages in terms of exercise and health and working out and physical transformation. Because you have to be ready to get in your car, drive to the gym, then get out of your car, walk to the door, walk in the gym, and then actually sign up for the membership, right?
Right.
You got to be ready for that. But that's just the first stage. That's just the first step. Because a lot of people, and I'm not calling anybody out, but there's a lot of people who have memberships but never go to the gym. Right? You were ready enough to sign up, but that's where it ended. You like, yeah, I got a card. I'm a member. You have to be ready to take the next step. You got to put on some sweats, get in your car, drive to the gym, get out, walk up to the door, go inside, and then actually get on a machine and do something. That's the next step. But there's a lot of other steps after that. And the gym's full of people in all these varying stages. And what's amazing is that you can see where people are at in the gym. You can see who's serious, who's committed, and you can see who's not. Yeah, I go, you know, I talk, I hang out, you know, I try to get dates, you know, I try to pass out my number. Right? A whole lot of stuff going on because everybody's in a different stage. But the amazing thing is that the owner of the gym doesn't matter to them. They just want you to be there, whether you're serious or whether you're not. Because everybody's in different stages. Because we won't do things that we don't think we're ready for. And it's the same way in the church. You have to be ready to get in your car and drive to the church. Park your car. Some people just circle around. And then go, nah, I'm not feeling it. You know? Let's go eat breakfast. You got to get out and walk in the door and stay, you know? I mean, that's just the first step, right? There's other stages, there's other steps of coming in, sitting down, staying for the whole service, you know, giving your life to the Lord, serving, giving, all, you know, there's all these different stages. The church is right now is full of people who are all in different stages of readiness. And so with this in mind, I've been studying how Jesus put his team together. The disciples. And the leader of that team would eventually be Peter, whose birth name was actually Simon. And so I started off by reading in Mark chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can go with me there. Mark chapter 1. I've been looking at how Jesus put his team together from this context of we don't do things that we don't think we're ready for. In readiness seems to occur in stages. And so I started off in Mark chapter 1, beginning of verse 14. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, Follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Now, talk about being ready. Jesus walks up and says, come follow me. And they leave everything to follow him. On the surface, doesn't this seem incredibly random? I mean, honestly, just think about in a real life scenario. Seems incredibly random that Jesus would just walk up to them and go, hey, come follow me. And they would literally leave their jobs, leave everything to do that. It doesn't even really seem real. And it bodes the question, why? Why would Simon leave everything to follow Jesus? Have you ever thought about that question? Why? Why would you do that? Why would he do that? Why would anyone do that? Why would he literally leave everything? Job, career, home, security, friends, everything to follow Jesus. And in my search for the answer, I stumbled upon a couple things that I want to share with you today, because I believe what I discovered is going to, first of all, is going to bless you, but it's also going to challenge you. It's going to challenge you for the rest of your life. So the first thing that I discovered is that Jesus doesn't take no for an answer. And I mean that in a good way. But he doesn't take no for an answer. The scene that we see in Mark chapter 1 actually isn't the first time that Jesus called Simon to follow him. It seems random, but it actually isn't, because it's not the first time. And let me say this, it's also not the last time that Jesus called Simon to follow him. Verse 14 says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee. Verse 14 is a timestamp that shows us that this scene happened after John the Baptist was put in prison and he was later martyred. Once he was in prison, he never got out. He was later martyred. Verse 16 is written in a way that lets us know that Jesus already knew Simon and his brother Andrew. It doesn't say, you know, Jesus was walking along and he saw two men and he asked them who they were or anything. It says he walked up to them and said, and he knew them and said, hey, come follow me. The first time that Jesus meets Andrew and Simon happens in John chapter 1. So let's go over there. John chapter 1, starting at verse 35. It says, the next day, John, speaking of John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus.
Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter, which also means rock. This is when Jesus first meets Simon. Notice that John the Baptist is alive and not in prison at this time. So this happened before the scene in Mark chapter 1. In verse 42, Jesus is clearly calling Simon to follow him. He even tells him, from now on, you're not going to be Simon anymore. From now on, your name is Peter, which means rock. In other words, later on, there's going to be a point in your life where you will become a rock, solid disciple of mine. But he wasn't there yet. Because we won't do things when we don't think we're ready for them. And readiness occurs in stages. Verse 43 is interesting because it says the next day after he met Andrew and Simon, is the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. There's no indication that Simon was with Jesus the next day. Your name's going to be Peter. You're going to be one of my disciples. By the way, I'm leaving tomorrow. You know, I got stuff planned tomorrow and we're heading out of town. Next day, where's Simon? He ain't following. I'm going on my own. And we don't know how much time passed between the scene in John chapter 1 and the scene in Mark chapter 1. We don't know if it was days, we don't know if it was weeks, we don't know if it was months, but Simon obviously didn't think he was ready. He was ready to really follow Jesus. But here's the good news. Jesus never gave up on Simon. He didn't go, "Sucks for you, man, you're out." He never gave up on him. But he also doesn't take no for an answer. So think about this for a second. Use your imagination here. At this point in time, Jesus is living in the same town that Simon lives in. Simon knows where Jesus lives. Do you think maybe there were some random, awkward encounters around town? You know, Simon's at the Raley's, you know. And he turns the corner and there's Jesus. He's like, "Oh no." You know. And Jesus is like, "Hey, Peter, what's up? What's up, man?" You know, they were in the same town. So they went to church together. Because Jesus was teaching in the synagogues every week. And Simon goes to that synagogue. "Peter, what's up, man?" They run into each other at the movie theater. You know, Simon's with some friends or family or whatever. Jesus walks by, "Yo, Peter, what's up?" And his friends are like, "Why is he calling you Peter? Your name is Simon." It's a long story. But can you imagine all this is going on? So when you read Mark chapter 1, it's not so random. This has been going on. And so at some point, Jesus walks by and Simon just goes, "Okay, let's do it. Let's do this." You know, he thinks he's ready. The second thing that I discovered when I was looking at this is that Jesus answers the why question. The why question. Going back to Mark chapter 1, verse 18 sounds like it's the end of the story. You know, Jesus walks by, says, come follow me. And it says that they leave everything, they, you know, leave their nets or whatever, leave everything, and then they follow Jesus. And it sounds like the end of the story, like wow, man, Simon, he really figured it out, and man, that's a pretty amazing thing that he would do. He must be special. There must be something about him that's different than me, than all the rest of us. He's not a regular person. A regular person doesn't do stuff like that. But Peter didn't do it either. So now we go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. It says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Remember, he's been living in this town, and he's been teaching in the synagogue, and he's been healing people, and the ministry is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to guess who? The one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now hold up. I thought Simon had left everything to follow Jesus. I thought he was out of the fishing business. I thought he was the super Christian guy that went and he left it all, walked away from everything to follow Jesus. Why is he back fishing again? This had to have been another one of those awkward moments, right? Of all the places that Jesus could have stopped and said, I'm gonna spend the day teaching here. He picks the spot right next to Simon's boat. It's hilarious. Peter, what's up? Can I use your boat, man, since you're back fishing again? I'm going to do some teaching. See, this is what I do when I go out of town, and you're supposed to go with me. But since you don't go, I'm here where I am. Had to have been awkward, right? But something was about to happen that was going to be different this time. So we read on, verse 4, it says, when he had finished speaking or teaching, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Now it's interesting. Simon calls Jesus Master. Master meant teacher. It meant rabbi, teacher. It's obvious that they know each other. We've already gone through the background of this. Jesus has been teaching locally, built a following, a reputation. But that is how Simon views Jesus at this point. He is the teacher. He is the rabbi, the master. And so he agrees to take the boat out.
purely out of respect for the teacher, for the rabbi. But think about this. No matter how much he respects the teacher, he's not willing to leave everything to follow the teacher. Who would? Yeah, I mean, he's really popular, and he says some really cool things, and seems to be God's anointing is on him, and he travels around and he teaches, but I ain't leaving my career, my business, my family, my everything to follow a teacher. Would you? That wasn't a rhetorical question. Would you? So we read on. Verse 5. Simon says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, because I respect you, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So out of respect for the teacher, Simon takes the boat out. They lower the nets. Verse 8 is the turning point of Simon's life. It's the turning point of Simon's life. When Simon Peter saw this, what did Peter really see? What did Simon really see? Some people think the focus of this miracle is the fish. Man, try to imagine how many fish that would be. Try to imagine what that would be like to have that many. How many fish would it take to make a boat almost sink? The focus is on the fish. But I think the focus of this miracle is that Jesus answered the why question. Why? Why would I leave everything to follow you? I think for the first time, Simon Peter saw Jesus for who he truly was. You're not just a teacher. Because he doesn't call him master in this moment. What does he call him? He calls him Lord. You're not just a teacher, you're God. That's why I would leave everything to follow you. He went from teacher to Lord God Almighty in a matter of hours. And I love what Jesus says at this point. So then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid from now on. Because now you see. Now you get it. From now on, you will fish for people. In Mark, he doesn't say from now on. He says, Come follow me. Because for one day, you will be a fisher of men. He didn't say that this time. He says, From now on. As of this moment, as of today. Verse 11, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Because we won't do things that we don't think we're ready for. And readiness happens in stages. Simon's life went through stages because Jesus doesn't take no for an answer. But he does answer the why question. Jesus says, now you're ready. Let's go. Let's get to work. Here's what I want you to see. Until you see Jesus as Lord, you won't be able to answer the question, why? Why would I leave everything to follow you? Because Jesus' requirement hasn't changed. Jesus' requirement is still that you leave everything and follow him. We have to come to the place of believing that Jesus is worth building our whole life around. Not a part-time gig. We have to come to that place of believing that he's worth building our life around. Because until you believe that, you're not going to follow him. You won't really follow him. In John 12, verse 26, Jesus said, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And whoever serves me must follow me. It hasn't changed from the time of when Jesus said to Peter, said to Simon, come, follow me. Here, we understand that it takes, that we go through stages. All of us go through stages. All of us are in a different place along that continuum. But the goal is that come to the place where we believe that Jesus is worth building our lives around. Every part of our lives. That's what leaving everything means. But we know that everybody's not at that place. We know that. I know that. I know that we're all in a different spot. And that's really okay. For some of you, you may be here just kind of investigating this idea of that Jesus is worth building your life around. You may just be checking it out. Others of you, you may be just getting started in this process. Just kind of learning more about this. Maybe some of you have had some good starts and then just kind of faded out and now you're kind of trying to get back into it. Others of you are further along in that process where you have made some sacrifices. You have walked away from certain things in order to follow Jesus. Maybe you're really convinced to a certain degree, and now God is starting to build even more in your life. But I want to ask you, where are you? Where in that continuum are you honestly at? Are you ready to go to the next level? Where are you at in your life? Are you married? We believe Jesus is worth building our marriages on around Jesus. Are you a parent? We believe Jesus is worth building our parenting around Jesus. Do you have a job? We believe Jesus is worth building our careers around. We believe Jesus is worth building our entire life around. That's where we're going. That's where we're heading. That's where all of us hopefully are heading. But where are you? Where are you on that continuum? Are you ready to build your whole life around Jesus? Will you bow your heads? Lord, we just want to ask that you would seal your word in our hearts today. Thank you for an amazing day. Thank you, God, for your just amazing word. Thank you that your love, your goodness, your faithfulness endures forever for each one of us, that you care about us, that you want the absolute best, that you're relentlessly loving, relentlessly wanting us to grow in our faith. With every head bowed, I want to give you an opportunity. This is the time where we respond to whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. However we're being challenged, whether we're being convicted, whether we're being encouraged, whatever it might be, whatever God is doing, now is an incredibly important time to respond to Him. And so I want to ask you, if you're here and if you've not made that first step, but you're ready to make the first step, and that is asking God to come into your life, surrendering your heart to Him as best as you know how. But if you're in that place, you're truly ready to say yes to the offer of eternal life from Jesus, to have your sins forgiven, to be brought into the family of God, a child of the living God. If that's you, would you just lift your hand right now just to indicate that that's something that you're wanting to do for the first time today? Next, I want to ask you, has God spoken to you in some way regarding what you heard today? Are you ready to take whatever the next step is for you? The next step to truly believing that Jesus is worth building your whole life around. Is there some area of your life that you've held on to? You're a Christian. You go to church. You might even preach to other people at work or whatever. But there's still things in your life that you haven't surrendered. And you know it. We know it. We know, all of us know what we've held on to, what we haven't surrendered, what we haven't left behind. But if that's you, if God is speaking to you in some way, calling you to let something go in order to follow Him, would you just lift your hand right now as well? Hallelujah. 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 As I've said many times today, we won't do anything that we don't think we're ready for. I can pray for you, but you have to be the one to decide what you're ready for. You're the one that has to make the decision to let something go. You have to be the one to make the decision to follow Jesus. This is the moment for you to communicate that to the Lord. Communicate that to Him. Father God, I just want to stand in agreement, Lord, with all those that have raised their hands, all those that are communicating their hearts to you now. Lord, I pray for your grace to be extended to each person, myself included. Help us, Father, to trust, to believe that you are truly worth it all, that you are worth building our entire lives around. We pray you help us to continue to grow Help us to become all that you called us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Woo!